Hi again, my name is Mel Rader with Upstream Public Health, and I'm going to talk about the health impacts of regulating competitive foods, which are results from a national health impact assessment. This project was funded by the Kids Safe and Healthful Foods Project, and also want to disclose Upstream has gotten funding in the past from the Northwest Health Foundation to work on competitive foods policy. So the first question is, what is a health impact assessment? And I think some of you are probably very familiar with this, and some of you may be new. And the key thing is it's a perspective analysis. It's the Committee of the National Research Council defines it as a systematic process that uses an array of data sources and analytic methods and considers input from stakeholders to determine the potential effects of a proposed policy, plan, program, or project on the health of a population and the distribution of those effects within the population. And HIA provides recommendations on monitoring and managing those effects. So it's prospective. It's our best analysis of what a policy impact will be. It also looks at, uses a variety of tools. And it not only looks at the health of the population as a whole, but also breaks down and looks at those effects on particular subpopulations. So why conduct an HIA on the National Competitive Foods Rules of the USDA? We recognize there were gaps in understanding of how nutrition standards would affect school revenue. The research had not been synthesized to provide overall predictions of how nutrition standards would affect health outcomes. So the research couldn't look at the health outcomes overall in the big picture. And third, it was valuable to provide a model HIA on a federal policy. So some of the goals of the health impact assessment, first and foremost, to synthesize relevant data and research on competitive foods. Second, to inform national and state deliberations related to the costs and benefits of competitive food policies. Third, identify potential health disparities and inequities that may result from competitive food policies. And finally, to make recommendations directly to USDA create healthy competitive food national standards. There's a variety of ways that this health impact assessment was unique. It was the first health impact assessment on a national rulemaking process that's been done in the U.S. It's by far the most comprehensive national level HIA completed to date. And it's one of a small handful of HIAs conducted on food or nutrition policies. I think there's a real opportunity in the future to use HIA practice much more in the realm of food and nutrition policy, and I hope to see a large expansion of this tool in the future. A health determinant pathway is a pathway that connects the policy to the health outcomes. So a health determinant pathway is displays exactly how the proposed policy could impact health outcomes, and it is used to define key research questions of the assessment. This diagram shows the framework of the health determinant pathway and the framework of the analysis. So the policy, which is USDA setting national nutrition standards for snack foods and beverages in foods, affects the snack food and beverage availability by increasing access to healthy foods and beverages, decreasing access to unhealthy foods and beverages, and in general, making the snack foods better meet the dietary guidelines. So this affects purchasing behavior and consumption behavior. So we were hypothesized via change in a la carte sales, a change in vending sales, and change in school store and snack bar sales, which has two effects. It changes the revenue of schools, so it could potentially change school services and health outcomes from that revenue. And second, changing dietary and nutrition health outcomes. So the components of the HIA include an extensive literature review of over 300 articles and publications, an original empirical analysis of school financial data to estimate how school revenue would change. Includes extensive stakeholder interviews with 25 academics, industry representatives, education leaders, students, and parents. There was oversight, input, and review from an expert advisory committee. And the final report was peer-reviewed by stakeholders and nationally recognized experts. It included analysis of state policies. So policies were categorized into four levels of strength. From the bottom are states that have no policies. Level one was states that had recommendations but no specific regulations around competitive foods. Level two was states that have regulations but did not meet the dietary guidelines. And then finally, level three, which there weren't very many states at all, but those are ones that had regulations that met the dietary guidelines already. So we analyzed how implementation of state policies impact the enterprise and school meal revenue. And we looked at how state policies impacted the availability of healthy and unhealthy snack foods and beverages. Research questions in the area of nutrition. First, will the updated standards affect the availability of snacks and drinks sold in schools, student purchases of those items, and student consumption? So we're using the best available research to understand how much competitive foods policy will actually affect a particular student consumption. Second was, will changes in student consumption of snacks and beverages sold in schools affect different chronic disease outcomes? And to summarize, you know, there's a lot of research analysis put into it, but the simple summary would be that student access to purchase of and consumption of unhealthy foods and beverages and subsequently does affect their disease risk. So competitive foods policies will affect student consumption of unhealthy foods, which will decrease a variety of chronic diseases. The strength of evidence, I would say, varied depending on the chronic disease, varied depending on several different factors, but overall, big picture, I think there is a good connection between competitive foods and chronic disease. On the school revenue side, we asked, will updated nutrition standards affect students' participation in the school meals program and thus school food service revenue? And then the related was, will the standards affect school district or other type of revenues that pay for school services? So that includes revenue through contracts with vending machine companies or through student stores, et cetera. And then third, if revenue changes occur, will they affect student health via changes to enrichment learning opportunities and school-supported physical activity? And so the finding we found was that districts would likely not see a decline in revenue. There was the evidence showed of looking at state policies implemented across the country that there tended to be a decrease in the enterprise revenue, the vending machine and student stores, but that was compensated by a larger increase in school meal participation and school meal revenue. And in most of the scenarios, the revenue either stayed the same or slightly increased. There was a small number of scenarios where the overall revenue decreased, but it was only by a small amount. In terms of vulnerable populations, we asked how will vulnerable populations, such as those from lower income or minority families, be affected by the rule? And we found vulnerable populations would benefit more than the population as a whole from stronger nutrition standards for snack foods and beverages sold in schools. So in summary, overall competitive food standards would have a significant positive impact on student health, especially those that are most vulnerable. And when implemented effectively, the policy would have little to no negative financial impact and may even result in improved financial outcomes for schools. Thank you.